Gem of Pittsburgh, Chatham Baroque. And the next peanut butter and jam session giving preschoolers a chance to learn about early instruments and music is coming up a week from today at Calvary Episcopal Church in Shadyside, 10 and 11:30 on November 4th. And we'll talk more about that show in a moment. But first, let's take a listen to the first of two selections from a trio we have today from Chatham Baroque, Scott Pauley, Andrew Fouts, and Patty Halverson. There you have Chatham Baroque here at the Saturday Light Brigade. I want to turn to Patty first and just ask her a few questions about the instrument she was playing, which was a fascinating instrument. You might not have detected it listening, but it's a six string. It looks like a cello. I don't know if it is a cello, but it had six strings and some really interesting sounds.
Yes, that it does look like a cello. You're absolutely right. It's a bass viol or viola da gamba. So the viola da gamba family is a different family from the violin family, of which the cello is a member. And so you are right to observe six strings. And on the neck, there are frets, so pieces of gut tied across. And the bow technique is different. So once you add up all of those differences between an instrument that looks like the cello and the cello, it's like, oh yeah, it is different.
So they're almost like cousins, I guess, and each has a lineage. Is there a six string analog to the violin or viola or
it's just this family that existed. It started out in the late 15th century, actually, as a bowed, probably a bowed or plucked instrument that then somebody said, hey, let's try plucking that. Or, I mean, let's try bowing that.
Now, do you play cello also?
I don't, although gombists often play Baroque cello as well.
I was just curious what it's like to learn how to play that instrument if you're used to a different instrument.
Yeah, I was used to early winds, so I didn't have that issue.
So you didn't, no transition problems. How did you get involved with music from this period?
I was fortunate because the town I grew up in had there was a college, and they had a collegium that specialized in primarily Renaissance music, so music of the 16th century. So when I was even in high school, instead of going to high school football games, I like to say I was wearing tights and a tunic and touring the Midwest.
And what town was this?
Pardon me?
What town was this?
This is like the 70s.
Oh, no, town.
Oh, town? Excuse me.
That's okay. Time is good, too.
This was in Duluth, Minnesota.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, so that was your scene, so
that was my scene.
Other people were getting into oldies. You were getting into ancients.
Exactly.
And that's something that led to a lifelong love of this music.
It did. Yep. I pursued it in college and graduate school. So
that's the voice of Patty Halverson. Why don't we talk with Andrew next, who was playing, I think, a violin traditionally, am I right?
Yes. Okay. It looks very much like a violin because it is a violin. And I call it a Baroque violin, mostly for the way that it's set up. Part of the early music movement that's transpired over the last half century or longer has been trying to understand how instruments were actually set up in certain configurations, like strings and the neck and
do you listen to recordings sometimes to try to figure that out, or is it well documented?
Well, mostly the instrument maker figures it out
quite
well, and on a very intrinsic, you know, master artisan level, and studies the original extant examples of how instruments were set up. And these are the same instruments often in the string family, the violin family, that are played in modern orchestras now. But their necks have been chopped off and a new one put on, and a certain other different kinds of strings are used now as opposed to the strings that we use.
Yeah, that appears to have a shorter neck. Am I right?
That's correct. Yeah. And it's also a little bit wider. It's a little fatter, more for me to grip. And that's helpful because I don't use a chin rest or a shoulder rest either. And so my having a little bit more to grab onto and sort of crawl up and down the neck as it is suspended there, not cantilevered necessarily by my head.
I think that's what would make going to a concert really interesting because, multiple senses are going to be involved here. You're going to hear the music, but you're also going to look at these instruments, some of which look quite conventional. The two we've talked about so far look very more or less conventional, and some of which don't. So it's really a lot of fun. If you're just joining us, Chatham Baroque, we're talking about the Peanut Butter and Jam series going on, and the next concert is going to be November 4th, and there are two. And preschoolers on up, including parents, you can run around, you can make some noise. It's meant to be a concert experience, a free-range concert experience at 10 and 11:30 on November 4th at Calvary Episcopal Church in Shadyside. And next, we're going to talk with Scott, who's got the big, large zither, guitar, combo, lute-like instrument that I don't know its name. I can barely describe it. We have a picture on Facebook if you want to take a look at it.
Right. So I'm playing what's called a theorbo. It's spelled T-H-E-O-R-B-O, and it's a member of the lute family, L-U-T-E family. And it's a string instrument that's plucked like a guitar is plucked. This happens to be about 6 feet long, and it has two sets of strings, one very long set of bass notes and a shorter set. So there are seven of each. shorter set that's fretted just like on a guitar. So it's a bit like having a guitar and a bass together, if you think of, you know, bass guitar and regular guitar. And it was used in the 17th and 18th centuries, kind of like a harpsichord or organ would have been used to kind of accompany other instruments in the Baroque period, like you know, like the violin that we're playing with Andrew today. So we're kind of like the rhythm section of the, you know, of or the like a guitar, bass in a jazz band kind of thing. You know, we have that function.
I'm smiling because I was just looking at your shirt, Scott, and you're kind of dressed to match your instrument today. And Scott has a shirt with horizontal stripes on it. And
right.
I'm sure that wasn't intentional.
It's a very horizontal instrument. Yeah. When I hold it, yeah, it sticks very far out to my left. And it's unusual. You don't find it today, but it's got a very unusual sound that you don't find. You know, it's not quite like a guitar. It's not quite like a bass. It's not even quite like a lute. It's its own thing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Now, I was thinking about the strings. There's 14 strings. I think there are 13 steps in a chromatic scale, I think. Are they tuned to that? That wouldn't be that simple,
I don't think. It's not quite that. Yeah, this is more of a, it's actually more like, I think if you think of it as a harp on the bottom, it's a scale of notes depending on what key you're in. So I've got just stepwise motion. So right now I've got a kind of a lowered sixth degree of the scale that's coming up for the next piece. So I retuned that from the last one. So I have an E. So I can tune like an E or an E flat or F sharp depending on what key I'm playing in. But I'm stuck with those notes while I play.
And the higher strings can be fretted.
They can be fretted, like, just so you can have chromatic notes on the higher strings. So they would be more like this. But more often I'm playing chords. And then I can add bass notes. So it's very mellow, very low kind of sounds that you don't hear often on a plucked instrument.
Well, they sound absolutely gorgeous. And you will have a chance to hear this trio and probably some other things. What's the theme for the concert that's coming up November 4th? Often there's a theme that helps tell kids and families what to look for.
There is. It's called Delicious Double Stop. So maybe Andrew can play a double stop for me. So a double stop is two notes together, and that's easy to do on bowed strings. So it just explores that concept, this show. And as you said, there's singing and chances for participation in other ways. It's not just sitting with your hands in your lap.
Well, we're going to hear one more song in a moment from Chatham Baroque, but this is our last chance to chat with Scott, Andrew, and Patty. Now, if you would like details, you can go to chathambaroque.org. The thing to really remember is, from my perspective at least, is you can go see real musicians in a great concert setting. And, of course, there's lots of opportunities to do that, but this is one where you can bring your kids, and they're going to be most welcome and it's a nice, you know, it's scaled appropriately so kids and adults can enjoy it together, given the setting and given the timing. November 4th, the date, and 10 and 11:30 are the times. And if you can't make it for that show, there'll be others, and we'll talk about those throughout the months here at SLB. Anything else that we should mention about Chatham Baroque itself or about the Peanut Butter and Jam series?
Well, just that it's one of the favorite things that we do as part of our life here in Pittsburgh. And And just to clarify, too, that it's in McClintock Hall, which is up the stairs and sort of bright, not in the sanctuary of Calvary. So there'll be signage and everything.
But that's good to know that it's there.
And a parking lot right outside the double doors and plenty of bathrooms.
Double doors for the double concert featuring double stops.
Exactly.
I like it.
Double your enjoyment.
Double your pleasure, double your fun. Well, we have double the music we've had so far with one more selection. What are you about to play?
We're about to play. Well, let me have Patty introduce this because
And tell us what you did play, too. We didn't talk
about it. We played a piece by Capsberger. So he's an Italian composer who worked in Italy, and he was a player of the theorbo, the instrument that Scott plays, called a piva.
Ah, and what's next?
Next, we're going to play a chaconne by Henry Purcell, and Scott on the theorbo will play a continuing bass line that repeats, and Andrew and I will be basically in canon. So I start off the canon, and Andrew follows with the exact same music two bars later.
You're the duo.
We are the duo.
Okay, once again, we have...
Making double stops all over the between.
Count the double stops. Thanks to all three of you for being here. Once again, here is, as we get them all ready to go, and the flute has made its appearance. What is it? Oh, recorder, I'm sorry. Of course, as I see it now. Yeah. Once again, Chatham Baroque. Chatham Baroque, and again, you can get additional details on their work. And this coming Saturday's November 4th concert at chathambaroque.org.